Hey, welcome. Peter Kretschmer telling us about VPS-free infrastructure for your projects.
Thank you. Sorry. So, good morning. I'm Peter. I'm from a VPS-free organization. And I will ask you, what if you need your own Linux server? Of course, you can run your own hardware, your own server, or you can buy a commercial solution from dozens of companies. But when you don't utilize your own hardware or you don't want to manage your own hardware, you just need small server for a few services. And maybe commercial VPS is too expensive for you and it's not as flexible as you wish. Then you can try our organization. This is English web pages. This is English web of our organization. We are non-profit organization. It's like volunteer organization in Czech Republic. We are intended primary for running virtual servers on our hardware. We own servers. We run it in the data centers in Czech Republic, and every member of our organization pay some small fee into our budget, and we use this money for running servers, for paying some administrators of these technologies, for our programmer who calls the administrator web. It's called VPS admin. It's all community project. We do it for ourselves. There's no company behind this. It is all run by members, people, core people of this organization. There are no grants, no European money, no investors. Everything is paid by people in this organization. We are fully open, so every member can participate. Every member can say, okay, I want to make something better. I want to share some code because every line of our code is on a GitHub or on our Git inside. So you can clone it, you can do some patches, you can participate on the code or help us with some hardware, with our network or to involve. We want to be fully open. Our budget is open, bank account is fully transparent, we have a mailing list, our software is open, finance, everything. We want to be fully transparent about all the organization. Even loans are from our members. If we want to buy some hardware, for example server, we will run crowdfunding in our community list and ask for money. Of course, we will pay the money back in 24 months with some interest, and we are able to gain 100,000 euros in 4 hours for our servers from our members. So they are okay with this system of financing new technologies. Of course, we have some month budget, so we can buy some hardware. But if it's too expensive, we don't want to borrow money from banks, so we can use our community to increase the budget. We are also transparent about outages. We don't hide anything, so if we have some technical problems here, we have an outage mailing list, and you will get information about problems in infrastructure, if there are any. We do meetings of our members, like VPS beer, and so you can know your admin, you can meet all the people here. We have a booth here with the core members of our community. Sorry. This is one of my friends, and he's a member of VPS Free too. So you can know your admin. Everything is open. It's a NASA way. NASA is trying to be fully transparent. they have to publish every picture that they make on a, in a space in 24 hours. So we do it the same way. Everything is fully open. And I think this is the one of the main reasons for our members to be members of this organization. Because people from Linux community, developers and users like the openness of an operating system. And if you tell them, hey, there is an open organization, everything is open, everything is transparent, you can run VPS here, they are happy about this because they like the spirit of open organization. Our main goal is to run this virtual environment. We have a saying in Czech that it's a lot of music for little money. So it's cheaper than this size of VPS in a commercial provider. So you will get a huge power for your projects. It can be, of course, commercial. You can run it for your customers. For example, if you are web developer and you want to run your application somewhere in the cloud or in the commercial provider, you can use our infrastructure. There are no limits for commercial usage. 30% of our members are companies, and even large companies in Czech with hundreds of employees are running mailing systems in our infrastructure. So it's not only for hobbyists and for Linux funds, it's for commercial usage. There are e-shops, there are large systems in our infrastructure. Of course, it is a place for your experiments and education because you can try their new technologies. And we want to support open things. We are giving money for conferences in Czech, like this conference. We have a Linux Days in Prague every year, which is similar to this your conference here. So we are participating on this. We are helping with financing OpenVZ containers because this is the technology we are using here. So they have some problems with money, and we said, okay, we will give them some money to help them running their project. Our servers are in Prague and in Brno, in Czech Republic, in Master DC data center. It's a normal commercial data center, and they have a great service for us, like remote hands. So if we need something like change disks or switch some cables, we can just call them and they can do it for us because we are spread over the Czech Republic. We don't have a Czech and Slovak. We don't have an office, regular office. We are from a lot of cities around, and the core team is spread over the Czech Republic. Advantage for you is that this Master DC data center is interconnected with your DKIX here. So we have a really fast connection to Germany too. So you can use it, of course, too. This is environment of each members. You will get full access to 8 CPU cores, which there is some fair use policy that you should not use 8 cores for full time. It's just for if you are running, for example, Gen 2, and you want to compile a new web server, you have 8 cores and you can do it really fast. You will get 4 gigabytes of RAM, 120 gigabytes of disk storage inside your node, and 250 gigabytes on network storage. You will get IPv4 and IPv6 addresses. Of course, we are IPv6 ready. There is a shaped link for your server for a 300 megabit link. Limit is 3 terabytes a month of data transport. You can scale it horizontally and vertically. So you can add more memory and disks and CPUs, or you can have more VPSs. You can even split these parameters. So if you don't need 4 gigabytes of RAM and you want 2 smaller VPSs, you can split it up to 4 VPSs. You can get, for example, 3 servers, 2 gigabytes RAM, 1 gigabyte, and 1 gigabyte. And you can split this because we are using ZFS. So you can create your own data sets there of your size, and you can use it. The only problem here is IPv4 addresses. We have a limited space of addresses, so if you will split it, you will have only one IPv4 address. But if you have a reason, like not, I'm sending spam, I need more IP addresses, this is not reason. It's not good reason for us. There was some member and he said, I paid you, you have to give me more addresses, I want. And we said, want is not a good reason, why? And he said, I just want. And we said, no. One IP address is enough, but if you need to split your VPS and you have good reason, we can give you some addresses, but I want is not a good reason. And even more, not just VPS, we have a playground here. Playground is a separate VPS environment, and you can run there for some testing purposes new VPS. You can even clone your production VPS. If you want, for example, switch from Apache to Nginx and you want to test it, you can just click and we will clone for you a new VPS in a playground. You can do your testing and then you can just remove it, or you can switch it back. You can replace the both VPSs, and now you're running a new web server, for example. We have a remote web console. Somebody was asking me about console. Yes, a normal way is to use SSH to connect to your server, but if you will get into some troubles, you will, for example, close your 22 port TCP port and you want to connect to your VPS, you can use web console, which is connected to serial port into your VPS, so you can log in through the web system, or we have a command line tool which uses our own API. This is our open source project Hef API, which is used inside our systems, and you can use a command line tool to start VPSs, stop, connect inside, and so on. We are using ZFS data management, so we are using a really fast cache system there. We have a lot of RAM inside our nodes. Every node has 256 gigabytes of RAM. One of our latest nodes have even half of terabytes of RAM. And I will talk about the RAM later. We are doing daily backups. You can do the snapshots in ZFS inside. So if you want to do, for example, upgrade Debian version, you can create snapshot by one click on in command line, and then you can break your server and says, oh, I want to revert, click, and you're back. So it's quite easy. And we are doing backups. We have a separate backup machine. And we run our mirror where the some of the distributions are, like Debian mirror. So if you are running VPS here, you will get packages really fast. This mirror is open for the internet, so you can a lot of people in Czech can use it for their servers outside our environment. This is our example of our hardware. We are using MikroTik core routers, 72 cores, because our network uses bonding. We have two 1 gigabyte Ethernet cards here. We are now upgrading to 2 times 10 gigabytes, and we are using Linux bonding, so we have to use MikroTik, because it's a Linux inside and it can use this bonding system too. We are using some Cisco switches and Gnode switch. I have a photo there, which is really nice and fast hardware. We have it for some time and we are testing it, and we want to upgrade to 20 gigabits network. This is example of one of our servers. Of course, we are not buying them in one day, so they are a little different, but this is most common hardware here. 2 times Xeon processor, 256 gigabyte of RAM, some rotation hard disk, SSD disk for operating system and for caches. And then we have a backupper server and NASBox, which is network storage. You can use it for if you need another member of VPS3. Sorry. So if you need more space or if you need to share data between more VPSs, you can use this network storage. Some photos. These are optical switches Gnode. These are cages for optical transceivers. And these are 10 gigabits. All of them are 10 gigabits. In the middle, there are 40 gigabits ports. And we will use it on our infrastructure. Our members doesn't need that the speed, but we can use it for testing. If you need to dump memory from the node because there is some problem, then the node has a up to one half terabyte of memory. It will take an hour to dump all the memory over the network. But if you will use 20 gigabit networks, then it takes a few minutes. So this is the main reason why we want to upgrade our network. This is a NASBox, our storage in one of the data centers. This is one of our core people moving some servers. This is our new SSD node. It has a half terabyte of memory and two CPUs. Really fast. We have there three separate links for SSD disks. So there is infinite power of disk IOPS. Sorry. This is a photo of some of our nodes. It's from Supermicro. These are people from our community. A week ago, we have a conference in Czech Republic. The conference was called InstallFest. And we had a booth there, too. We were making coffee and talking with people. It was really nice. I'm here for 2 hours at Linux Tag in Chemnitz, and I like it here, too, because there are really, really nice people here. Some numbers. We have nearly 1,200 members today, so it's not a small organization anymore. Mostly Czech and Slovak, because we translated web pages and administrate system to English like a few months ago. It was all Czech and Slovak. Now it's in English. 30% are companies. We are running over 1,500 VPSs here. We have 2,000 IPv addresses, and 1,000 of them are unallocated. We will have to solve this problem in a few months, probably. We have to allocate more addresses somewhere, I don't know. We have a few IPv6 addresses. It's enough so far. I hope they will last for some months. This is our membership growth. In the middle, we started to make some information campaign because almost nobody knows about our organization. And then we start talking at the conferences in Czech and in Slovak that we exist. And then we started to grow. We are growing really fast, as you can see. 5 years ago, we had 200 members. Now we have over 1,200. Or nearly 1,200. These are Linux distributions we are running. Debian is on the more of 50% of our servers. Then there's Ubuntu, CentOS. These three distributions, Debian, Ubuntu, and CentOS, are 90% of our members run these three distributions, Debian, Ubuntu, and CentOS. Then there is Scientific OS, which is clone of Red Hat, Gentoo, Arch Linux, Fedora, OpenSUSE, and other like Alpine. DevOne, which is Debian without systemd. It's a beta version, but some members likes it even as a beta version, NixOS, like we're in Void Linux. Sometimes we add new one. NixOS is in, we have a template for NixOS for 2 weeks, and we have a 3 or 4 VPSs running NixOS, but 90% want Debian, Ubuntu, and CentOS. Number of VPSs, most of users are running one VPS, but there are some who run more of them for the customers or the companies. IPv6 addresses, as you can see, nearly all of them, all of members needs only one IP address. Allocated memory, this is interesting. In average, VPS uses 1 gigabyte of RAM. If the node has a 256 gigabytes of RAM, and there are 100 VPSs per node, that means that 100 gigabytes on average is used by processes in VPS. The rest, it means 150 gigabytes of RAM, is used by cache. And ZFS file system has a great system of caching called ARC. And we have a cache hit rates up to 98%. This means that nearly everything is in RAM. So there are no limits to IOPS, or we don't have normally have problems with IOPS because almost all datas are in RAM and it's running really fast. We have a one SSD, fully SSD server, because there are some members who needs a lot of VPSs for some special database cases. So they have been moved to SSD node. But most of users are okay with this system. So there is Arc cache in a lot of memory, and then there is a next layer cache on SSD. So if a kernel needs to flush some part of cache in memory, it is not erasing it. It will on the first layer it will move it to SSD when it can access it, and then if it's not needed, then it can be erased. How VPS fits to 1 gigabyte? The default limit is 4 gigabyte, maximum is 16 gigabytes. It's not technology maximum, it's for us, if we need to move VPS, then we have to clone the memory from one node to another, and it would take a long time if this VPS would have, for example, 100 gigabytes of RAM, so 16 gigabytes is limit, but nearly everybody's okay with 4 gigabytes. 4 gigabytes is okay for everybody, as Bill says. Only 9 VPSs has more than 4 gigabytes, so it's okay. We had a lot of memory. This is the caching. I already spoke about it. So it's damn fast. We are using Arc cache at memory and level 2 Arc at SSD. Index is always in RAM, so it's really fast. S-lock is for since writing, when the database needs to, for example, database needs to write data on the disk, it has to be sure that the datas are really on the drive safely. So there is a blocking calling in kernel, and the database is waiting until the datas are safely on the drive, and then it continues. If you're using this S-lock, the ZFS will write some note on the SSD really fast, like in the future we have to write this on the disk, and the process is finished and database can continue because datas are a note on a S-lock in the SSD, and then when it's time it's rewritten to a rotation disk. Disk, our member can use 120 gigabytes of disk space. Every average usage is 15 gigabytes. So it's enough. NAS, network storage, is used by 38% of members. So it's really nice service too for them. And some services, what are they running? Of course, SSH, 76% as a standard at a standard TCP port 22 and on various ports. Of course, web servers, 83% are running web servers. Apache, Nudge, Nginx, Lite, HTTPS, and some other servers. Of course, web is nearly at every VPS. Mail servers, Postfix, XAMPP, SendMail at TCP 25. DNS servers, 25%. I run on DNS servers. We run DNS servers for organization on our infrastructure too, of course, because we have to run our domains and reverse records for our IP addresses. We are trying to run all of our services in our infrastructure, of course. At the beginning, people who run this organization wanted to have their own services, and they don't want to use Google. It was a start of VPS3. So, and after 7 years, it's still the same. So, all of our services, like mailing list, everything is on our infrastructure, of course. Where are we from? Nowadays, we are mostly in Czech and Slovak, but as you can see, maybe we are everywhere. We are in the most of cities in Czech and in Slovak. You can join us if you want to run some services, some Linux. We are supporting openness and open minds. If you want to look on our web pages, please visit vps3.org. .org is a vps3.cz is a name of an organization, and a main Czech website. vps3.org is an English web. There is a form for registration. You can give it a try for a week, and then we will ask you for a member fee, which is, I don't know if I mentioned it, 12 euros a month for this. This is our budget. This is how we get the money from members. We don't have any other type of financing. Then there is knowledge base, an important place of everything around our infrastructure. Photos. It's in Czech, but these are pictures, so it's okay. In English, in German, international photos from our data centers, from our events. We will put there some photos from Chemnitz too, and we are using Twitter and Facebook, of course, because everybody is using these things. Visit our booth. We have a booth there near toilets, so it's a good place. You can ask everything. We have people who are specialists for OpenVZ, for ZFS, for storages. So if you have some questions, please ask. And now you can ask me what you want to know. And I have some t-shirts here, 4 t-shirts. So if you will ask nice and clever question, you have a chance to have this really nice t-shirt. It has been made in Liberec, so, and I'm from Liberec, I'm your neighbor, so please. Yes.
Poprvé ďakujem, bolo to veľmi zaujímavé. And I have 3 questions. First one, how's NAS storage presented to the guest? Is this NFS?
NFS.
All right.
NFS.
Second, can I get a KVM VPS?
Yes.
With the same features?
You can run KVM inside your container. So you'll get container, and you can build your infrastructure of KVMs inside. You are limited by container, and you can run. There are some people who runs their Windows even with Exchange, so it is possible. or BSD or something. But we have 1,200 members, and only 6 or 8 of them are using KVM. Mm-hmm. So if you need it, you can use it, but nearly nobody really needs it, because container is okay. If you don't need something special in Linux kernel, your special kernel for some special features, you don't need KVM. You are okay with the container.
For encryption, for instance.
Maybe.
Yeah. And third one is, since you're a non-profit organization, what's your commitment for meantime to repair or things like that? So if there's an outage, and you have to, for instance, replace hardware, is there any commitment for time to repair?
Yes, we are trying to do what we can. Yeah.
By the definition of the nature of the organization, but we still do have some spare hardware in our racks, so we are able to react.
The case is that even commercial hosters can just say, okay, we don't have any outages, but it's not possible. And the only thing they can do is to lower your month fees, and they can help you with this. But we are trying to do our best, and we don't have, we have a statistics on block, and it's not, we have outages like 10 minutes a month or something. And we have an outage list. We don't hide this. If we have a problem, we are talking about these problems with our community. But I think it's okay. It's like 99.986% up and running. So we had problems a few years ago with a combination of OpenVZ and ZFS. So we had hard times with outages on some servers, because it's a never used before combination, or it used to be. So we had problems with this, but we tried to solve them with the developers of OpenVZ, and I think it's okay now. And we have a separate hardware for testing. So if before we put their new version of kernel, we are testing it on a testing environment. So we are trying to do it this way to avoid the outages. You want t-shirt? L is okay, large. M? Oh, you can change it at booth. We have a XXL because we are Linux users, so XXL. Any nice question? Please, I like questions. I want to give you a t-shirt. Wait for microphone.
Just wait for the stream.
I ask myself, what really is the difference to commercial offer? They have as well free spaces, they have IP addresses, they have a virtual server. What is really is a benefit to be a part of this community?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think the main benefit is the community, because our community is mostly from Linux professionals. So if you have a problem, you can ask and you will get help. Another thing is that if you need something special, we can help you. Like there are people says, I need to do some big database migration. I need 20 gigabytes of RAM. Can you help me with this? Yes, you have got 20 gigabytes of RAM. Use it, and then tell us, and we will lower it down to 4 gigabytes. Or we have one member at the InstallFest last week came to our booth and says, hey, I have a NAS storage with 20 terabytes of data, and I need to move it somewhere and to recreate the pool, ZFS pool on the storage. Can you help me with this? Yes, we can. And Pavel, he's our headmaster, and he take him to our data center, connect it to NAS box, copy 20 terabytes of data to our box. They together restore the storage and then reload it back. So these are the community services which you cannot get from the commercials. And the main reason is that we want virtual space for our projects. Yes. So we want to run something like this for ourselves, And of course, I know a lot of people who has like one server in somewhere in the colocation center, and the 10 people are giving money to the same bank account and they are buying the services from colocation and running their server. This is the same system, but with community and with 30 servers, not one.
That means in reality, if I want to have some, I'm not a technical freak in inside, if I have some more technical tasks like certifications or and DNS names and so on, is this a community about to ask? Is this a right customer? I am as a non too much technical, or is this a better idea to but this is your typical customer in this sense?
We don't have customers.
Yeah, customer.
Yes, we have members. Yes, yes. Exactly. We don't like hear the word customer.
Sorry.
Okay. You are a new member, so I'm okay with this. you can ask. We have Linux professionals here, so some members who doesn't know Linux. They are, for example, non-profit organization for selling something in Africa, and they want to help with a Linux management, so they can ask people in the community list, and they can help them for free, or they can pay them. Yes, there are some people who offer you this type of service, like running VPS here in VPS free for money. It's up to community.
We even have a list on our knowledge base of approved administrators that the core team approves of. Like, if you don't know how to manage your stuff, then you go to this wiki page and contact someone who is pre-approved from the core team to be able to take care of your server.
We support it. We don't block it. We support it. Like talk to each other and. Help yourself, like even for money, it's not a problem for us. You want t-shirt? Yes, you want t-shirt. We have the best t-shirts here. You can, if you want smaller, it's XL. But I'm sorry, if you want smaller, we have all the booth. Yes.
My question is, if you have any experience or if you would support routing of own prefixes via BGP. Or similar?
We are not. We are not running our BGP now. We are in the data center and they do the routing for us. We have our IP address space. We are in the RIPE NCC member. But we don't have ASN now. But we are. This is our goal for next year, for example, to have ASN and to do our peering. But the data center has a really good peering in Germany here, D6, in Czech Republic, in Nix, in Prague, in Slovakia, in Austria. So our connection now is quite okay. But we want to.
That's the reason why we don't have our own infrastructure. The commercial providers are good enough, but the situation on the market is changing recently. For example, Cogent has begun blocking some Pirate Bay IP addresses. So this will probably give us some motivation to build our own infrastructure.
Yes, to be open on the network. Liar. Here's a sleeping t-shirt XXL. The Debian, nice Debian t-shirt. We have a Debian 9 template now on the server, so you can run testing.
I have a small question. Do you allow your customers to use Tor as an exit node? As a members, your members to use Tor as an exit node? Because I had some bad experience with a German hoster.
No. There are some fair UCC limits, like for Tor exit nodes, because we don't want to have problems with authorities and with the police, and we don't want to. If the police will come to take our servers, it will harm all of the members. So this is the one of the reason. And the second thing, it's really interesting. We have 10 minutes, so we can just chat. Is that is our the gaming servers? We are limiting gaming servers because to hardcore and to lower CPU usage because we have a lot of kids who are running gaming servers here, and they can fully utilize the whole servers with 55 installation of Counter-Strike servers written in PHP of old version, and they are going to be hacked then, and they are sending spam. So we don't like gaming or large gaming servers here. And another problem is with DDoS. Nearly every DDoS to our infrastructure is targeted to TeamSpeak servers because the kids are using DDoS attacks to help them in games, because if they are running some rage or some fight in games, groups are fighting together, then they will turn on the DDoS on the TeamSpeak server. The opponent can talk together and they will smash them. So this is the game of internet of kids. 13 years old kids are able to buy DDoS in Russia to our infrastructure because there is a TeamSpeak server. It's 96% the target of DDoS to our infrastructure is TeamSpeak servers. So we are trying to tell our members that TeamSpeak is not a good thing. Maybe it's working, but it's a red flag for DDoS attacks. So Tor exit nodes and gaming servers and everything illegal. But if you're running normal legal service, we are okay with this.
Okay, thanks.
You want T-shirt? Yes, we want T-shirt.
For example, if you're running a hidden service that we don't know of, which is illegal, then it's fine as well.
Yes. So T-shirt. Oh.
But the exit node would be a problem.
Yeah, exit node is problem because you can see it outside, but. If you're running something for your personal, for example, personal communication or something which is maybe illegal, but it cannot be seen from the internet, and we don't know about this, so we can't do anything about it. But if it's open to the internet and you will try to, for example, send spam or upload some videos. Movies or something, then we will ban you. But it's not a problem, actually. It's not a big deal today. Our members are really nice. They don't do the nasty things. It's interesting because more than 1,000 people, maybe there is a risk that some of them will do the problems, but they don't. We have the problems. We have the problems, of course, with attacks, with spams that. Some member is running, for example, old WordPress or Drupal version, and they will attack it and use it for sending spam. But we have filters outside, and we will ban his IP address, and then we will send him an email: "Hey, fix your server, clean your systems. You have some problem here." But we don't limit in default. We don't limit any ports, any IP addresses. We are trying to be fully opened. We are just shaping the speed to 300 megabits, but I think it's okay.
Okay, I have another question. What about...
Where are you? Sorry.
Yeah. what about running malware or like a type of honeypot on your server?
Like hunting? Like hunting malware or running malware services?
No. for researching or like
yes.
Stuff of that.
Why not? Okay. We are not running like organization. We are not running this type of services here. But if you want, you can use it this way. I think for catching. Yeah, I think there are a few people who run SSH honeypots, and they are getting some numbers. We have some big research projects in Czech Republic. We have a. If you will visit our booth, there is another Czech booth behind us. It's called Turis Omnia, and they are running large research projects, and they have a few thousand of internet routers in different networks over the Czech and Slovak and over the world somewhere. and they are listening the traffic, and they are catching the malware, they are catching the hackers, recording the false SSH connections, and they are creating some lists of problematic IP addresses, and you can filter it, and this is a really nice project. So if you want to run something like that on our infrastructure, you can, but we have only two points of presence today, in Prague and in Brno, so it's not spread, and it's one network, it's one ASN. So if you want to spread more of some probes, you can do it here.
Right, time for one last question.
It's more of a technical question. I'm not so sure about that. When you receive a DDoS attack, how deep is the impact usually? Is it limited to one nut, or is it spread in the system? How does it behave usually?
Can you pass the microphone, Pavel?
Currently, we have about 2 gigabits of uplink, and it depends whether the DDoS fully utilizes our bandwidth. When it does, we do remote triggered black hole link. So we announce that given IP address, which is receiving all the traffic, to our upstream ISPs, so they block it at their level. But there's some reaction time, so there will probably be about 2 minutes of downtime for the whole network, if the DDoS is large enough.
And if it's smaller than 2 gigabits, we can filter it inside, of course. And they have some automatic system, our provider has some automatic system, and they will block it instantly. So it's like 2 minutes, but it's not quite often to get the DDoS. It's like in few months, once,
yeah,
three months.
There are some open lines of communications with some commercial subjects who are looking into creating some solution which would do the triggering automatically based on some net flows or something like that. In the current moment, I think there isn't anything open source which you could deploy. So that's something we want to collaborate on with others.
Okay, thank you very much.
And thank the speaker again.
And I hope you will visit our booth and we can chat there for an hours, and I can give you more t-shirts. And thank you very much for your attention.